Chapter 5. Karma, Nemesis, and the Way to Redemption. How can one escape from the grip of one's own blood type and the ensuing clouding of the consciousness? Hermes' answer is, therefore do not allow yourself to be carried along by the violence of the stream, but let those among you who are able to reach the harbour of salvation make use of the counter-current to put into port. Look for him who will take you by the hand and lead you to the gates of the Gnosis, where the clear light shines in which there is no darkness, where no one is drunk, but all are sober, and look up with their hearts to him who wishes to be known. But listen well. His voice cannot be heard, and his name cannot be pronounced, nor can material eyes view him. Only the spirit soul is capable of so doing. That is why you should first tear up the garment you are wearing, the fabric of ignorance, the basis of malignity, the fetter of corruption, the lightless prison. Are we then to look for a teacher, for a master, or an adept who will accept us as pupils, as is customary in the world around us? Are we then to enter into personal ties? Are we to look for someone whom we can follow as an authority? No, the text refers to him whom we can see only with the spirit soul. The text refers to him whose voice cannot be heard with the physical ear, whose name cannot be pronounced with the physical organs of speech, and who cannot be seen with physical eyes. The text refers to him who will not reveal himself through one or another reflection sphere method. The text refers to him who is called Pimanda, or alter ego, the other one, the spirit. You will have to seek the guide who is not to be found on the horizontal level of dialectics. And this guide wishes to take you by the hand. You will only be able to experience this other one in a very special way, with the spirit soul, the unity of the spiritual consciousness, and the heart which has been purified in the Gnosis. If you open your heart for the light of lights, the rose of the heart will open, and the color and scent of the rose will console you. If you follow that light in accordance with its aims and essence, and if you cause it to circulate in your system right through all the obstacles and against the intoxicating stream, you will be able to fix the nucleus of the light in the heavenly heart, in the open space behind the frontal bone. Then you will prepare this upper room, this purple hall, in the town of Nephrite in the right way, and Pimanda, having arisen from his sleep of death, will ascend his throne in the upper room and celebrate with you the Lord's Supper. To celebrate the Lord's Supper will make real sense only if it can be received in the upper room. Pimanda, the God within you, will then guide you to the gates of the Gnosis, to the gates of the Golden Head, where the bright light shines in which there is no darkness, where no one is intoxicated, but all are perfectly sober. Now, if you want to pass through these gates, if you are willing to liberate this kingdom within you, you will first have to tear up the garment of ignorance, the garment of daily denial. This is the core of pupilship of the spiritual school. This will keep you busy every day if you take it seriously. You will have to nullify your blood type, your blood culture, and thus the dialectical individualism out of which your entire character and conduct are to be explained, so that you change daily. Through your ordinary, everyday habits and behavior, which are to be explained out of your blood type, you deny the God within you. We are not alluding to exceptional behavior, to exceptionally bad or evil things. No, we are emphatically aiming at your everyday attitude to life as determined by your character and blood type. This attitude to life is the central power of sin, the cause of what is most monstrous, Hermes said. If In the school of the Golden Rosy Cross, we talk about the endurer, about the abolition of the natural self and the transfigurating ascent into the other one. This is not merely superficial academic knowledge transmitted as a means to an end, but it has a profound meaning which seizes the entire blood being. One cannot cast off the evil of denial by a resolution of the will, "I will never do it again." No, it requires an intense struggle, for your blood type is completely one with the dialectical universe. But the evil of ignorance of denial is atmospheric, it is one with the essence and the inherent law of the dialectical universe. If you want to understand this, you can consult the fourth book of the Hermetic Treasury. You will read in it that the great space of the seventh cosmic domain, which is called the Garden of the Gods, was formerly, before the dawn of manifestation, an infinite darkness in the sense of something not yet created, the chaos or the abyss, as the Bible sometimes calls it. In this darkness, nothing but the water of life existed, the cosmic root substance, Abraxas, which means the properties of space. When the day of creation dawned, the holy light rose out of the darkness, the properties of the cosmic root. Substance freed themselves, and from the nature of darkness, several nature powers separated themselves, which Hermes called gods, or rectors. In the field of still unformed space, seven powers, seven radiations became visible, the seven rays of the seven spirit of the all manifestation, with the aid of which God, the Logos, is connected with his creation and his creatures. Under the influence of the rays of the seven light, in their unlimited diversity and multiformity, the whole of creation burst into a magnificent garment of colors and shapes, while the universe, ordered by the breath of creation, was kept in motion by a circulation of divine spirit radiations. The planetary forces, the planetary spirits and their systems, created by their own power what they were bidden to create. In this way, for example, the various kingdoms of nature on this planet developed. All this, though of great diversity, contained the seed of rebirth. In the grandiose garden of the gods, all this life, which developed everywhere and was maintained by universal spirit radiations, would awaken in that from which it had formerly sprung, the universal spirit itself. In this way, the entities who once could be called men, in the true sense of the word, also came forth out of the womb of eternity. The word man is derived from manas, which means thinker, someone who knows the truth and wisdom of God, and who knows God's plan. The men of the beginning were called to fulfill the divine laws in the vast universe of the seventh cosmic domain, to put the knowledge of God's plan into practice with the aid of what was made available to them by the creations of the nature gods, the rectors. In the Garden of the Gods, everything was made available to men. It was granted to them to multiply by splitting the spirit, which means as God out of God, as spirit out of spirit. In this way, the universe of the seventh cosmic domain was filled with glory. There is a universally applicable law of nature which links together everything in the entire universe and organizes all the multiplicities of creations and forces, movements and actions into one single faculty. This law of nature can be described as a key power. It is a tremendously powerful faculty. In mythology, this primordial power, this basic law of creation, is called nemesis, which means that it always remains the same, that it cannot be affected. That is why in the Greek world of ideas, Nemesis is referred to as the goddess of avenging justice, who punishes vice and persecutes every misdemeanor and every delinquency. Another name for this primordial power is karma. As a principle, it is absolute and unchangeable. That is why it was once said in the Universal Doctrine that karma, nemesis, creates peoples and mortals. But once created, it is they who make karma nemesis either a fury or a rewarding angel. Indeed, wise is he who venerates nemesis. In its undeviating immovability, this arch power of the All, as the Logos of nature, keeps the great plan of God absolutely safe. The Spirit of God radiates a plan into the abyss. The power of the Spirit awakens the power of nature, and the All begins to move and manifest itself. Now there is one controlling factor, Nemesis, which safeguards God's plan. It is a power that knows no negotiating, radiates no wisdom, no good and no evil, no positivity nor any negativity. It is a power that only maintains the will of the Logos, right through all deviating or opposing influences. If you consider this, you will see that it is overwhelmingly magnificent. God's plan is upheld eternally. It cannot be affected. It will be carried out. But at the same time, what an enormous danger it brings with it. Whenever you violate the law of Nemesis, it corrects you. It appears as the avenger, as fate. Fate, or blind fate, is the name by which we best know Nemesis. That is why Nemesis is represented as a goddess with a bandage over her eyes. Perhaps you will now understand what happened in the distant past. Part of mankind abandoned the wisdom of the Spirit and experimented on its own. At the same moment, Nemesis appeared as the correcting one. God cannot forsake the works of his hands. The correcting law of nature appeared. In this way, the fire of disaster was ignited in the vast universe. The violation of the law was answered by the fire of fate. In this maelstrom, man was cut off from the Spirit. In this state, he was man, manas, thinker, only in name. In his lack of wisdom, he began to serve the various gods of nature. But however, each planetary deity, each planetary power of nature, differs from every other. These powers of nature cannot do otherwise than accomplish their mandate of creation. Since the planetary powers are servants of mankind, you can imagine how, through a degenerated mankind, the planetary powers were continually pushed out of equilibrium and consequently were corrected by fate, by Nemesis. So worlds perish through fire, so unholiness invokes new unholiness and counter-natural forces. So mankind stands in the atmosphere of the malignity of ignorance, ignorance of the original human state of life. So every microcosm possesses in its auric being a still unpaid bill of fate, of Nemesis, a bill which must be paid down to the last penny. And whenever one makes a partial payment against this bill, by means of one's fateful course through the nature of death, one almost always develops a new debt. All of you know karma Nemesis very well. How can you escape from this circle of the doomed? Nemesis will not help you. She never has. She cannot do so. She only corrects. She only demands retribution, but without any hatred. However, a way of redemption does exist. The spiritual school seizes every opportunity to speak about it. Whenever it does not preach, it does not seek to offer edifying words and doctrines. It continually emphasizes that if you want to escape your fate, you will actually have to go the way of redemption. You will need to begin to rend the garment of ignorance to annul your blood type, for it contains the cause. The universal path of redemption is again shown to you. Therefore, walk this path. Rend the garment of daily denial you are wearing. If you do so, you will begin to make peace with Nemesis, with the goddess of avenging justice.